Dane Young's going to be checking in with us, I hope, at some point in time here. Do you have Dane's number in case he does not call us? Yeah, yeah. Dane will check in and check in with him. Hey, quick note here. My great friends at Ingles do an incredible job. Ingles is an amazing company. This is a family company. This is the great folks up in Black Mountain. And I love what they're about. I love how they're investing in our schools. I love how they're investing in our communities. And how charitable they are with everything. It just makes you feel good doing business with good people. Besides that, bottom line is that they do a terrific job of getting you the best groceries. That's what you care about. So, salad bar, olive bar, the delis, the bakeries, the floral department over there, the pharmacy, all those different departments, the meat department and the seafood department, they just do an amazing job. We love it. It is our great friends over at Ingles. Love the gas, love the Starbucks. I mean, everything about it. So much going on there and so many great things going on there. Another great reason to go to Ingles is the curbside service. Low prices, love the savings, love my friends at Ingles. To our guest lines, where Dane Young, UGASports.com, joins us. And Dane, I am glad that Georgia won last night, because not only are we going to review, but we're going to preview as well. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Have you ever been to Omaha, Mickey?
I've not. And I want to.
I have not either.
But I've not.
Yeah. I hear it's a spectacle out there. We have Anthony Dasher from our website out there, also Lance McCurley. And, I mean, Georgia's in the long haul, it looks like, at this point, based on the game against Texas last night. I thought either Texas or Georgia would have a good chance to take out Oklahoma twice. And I only say that because Oklahoma in the final month of the season did not win an SEC series. So they're on a heater right now. And I just think eventually talent wins out in these things. I know baseball can be a weird sport and a team can get hot. And if Oklahoma can go beat Georgia Tech in a postseason situation, when I think Tech may have been the best team in the country this year, then maybe they can keep doing it against Georgia too. But with Georgia, four pitchers in three games, they're a setup as good as you can be from the loser's bracket.
Yeah, that's shocking to me, and I like the fact that I talked about, I knew Georgia could win 13-11. I didn't know Georgia could win 2-0, and that's shocking to me. But with that said, let me give you this. On Oklahoma, you're right. Some sort of switch was flipped, because in the last three weeks, they beat Georgia Tech 15-8 and 8-7 in 10 innings in Atlanta. And I thought Georgia Tech was the best team in the country. Then they go to Lawrence, Kansas, and win 8-1 and 13-2. And then they go to the College World Series, and they win 9-0 against Alabama, and they beat Georgia 4-3. Like, this team is on a roll, beating two of the best three teams in the country. So, who knows? But we talked about this just a few minutes ago with a Georgia fan. If I had to give you right now, North Carolina's going to win one of the next two games. I'd feel very comfortable about that. But if I gave you even odds of Oklahoma winning one or Georgia winning two, what would you say at this point?
I'd lean Georgia right now because of the pitching stuff. Now, I do think there's going to be some interesting gamesmanship that happens today and then potentially tomorrow if it's needed, right? Because does Georgia tomorrow go with Joey Volchko based on that's going to be, what, four complete days of rest since that game one that he pitched against Texas? Or does Georgia roll the dice and say, we're going to need that guy against likely North Carolina if we make it that far? Like, that's what you have to begin to think is, are we trying to win the national championship here, in which case you probably want Volchko in a first game against North Carolina? Or do you – I mean, you got to get there first. And so the way that Wes played this thing, Wes Johnson, Georgia's coach, the way he played this thing against Texas yesterday, where you had your closer go half the game, you tend to think that he's focused more on today, and then tomorrow will work itself out when you get there.
Yeah, I think you try to win today no matter what, because at some point in time, Georgia's going to score 13 runs. And you might have to – it might be seven pitchers. And it might be today, oh, by the way. And, boy, that's when you kick yourself if you went ace and you still scored 13 runs. Maybe you get him out early because it starts Saturday. And so can he come back? He pitched this past Saturday. Can he come back this short rest and do it and then go next maybe Monday again? So there's a lot going into all those decisions. One quick thing, though, beforehand. I'm getting text in now from people who've been to Omaha, and they tell me this. Of all the bowl trips and all of the NCAA tournaments and basketballs that people go to, people say that their favorite trip is Omaha. I don't know if you're hearing that from your guys or not, but, man, or from the message boards or not as well. But I understand.
I mean, that says a lot about it, yeah. Right? I think it was Troy's coach yesterday when they were eliminated. And look, like the coach of a baseball team that makes it to Omaha, I think will say this, but see, of all the things in college sports, this is the best one. Like, Rose Bowl, fantastic. Like, he literally called out the Rose Bowl. And I'll just put it this way. If you are bypassing Southern California to go spend time in Nebraska and say that it's better, then it's got to be really good, whatever they're doing in Nebraska.
All right. Where does Masters rank in there then for Dane Young's top sporting events?
I mean, Masters is my favorite sporting event, so yeah. That's top of the heap for me.
Yeah. You know, we had to pinch ourselves every once in a while to say we live where we live, and we have access to some of that. And I'm sure maybe people in Omaha think the same thing, or people in Nebraska think the same thing, that you can go, you know, we pinch ourselves that we live this close to all this kind of stuff. Where is the – what? Well, actually, this last week, and as they continue to advance, where's Georgia baseball now? You talked about what happened in the Super Regionals. Well, now, this late – heroic type wins and this deep run in the College World Series now, is that continue to play on the legacy of where or the priorities of Georgia baseball? Georgia baseball climbing in the minds again? Is this going to rival Georgia basketball or maybe any other Georgia other successful Olympic sports?
I mean, I just have to use the data from our website to determine the fan interest in this, because these are people that are super fans of Georgia athletics, and when we have threads on our message board in June about a game that end up with 17,000-18,000 views.
Yeah.
It's pretty high interest. I mean, this is the way that the publisher of our site told us yesterday on UGASports.com, that this is March Madness numbers. This is maybe like a lower level football kind of game. Like this is Georgia playing East Tennessee in September kind of thing. You know, an SEC football game surges way past this, but this is right there with probably the second most popular thing that you can get with Georgia athletics right now.
How do we account for that? The novelty of it compared to the, you know, the national pastime of baseball, compared to maybe the NIL trend. The portal's still big in baseball, but like they're not making millions of dollars. Any of those or all those factors in why maybe this is refreshing to Georgia fans?
I think it's all those, but when I watch it, Mickey, it feels – and look, there's NIL era, and I'm sure Georgia has $1 million in that team, and Wes Johnson is a mercenary, and they have more transfers than any team in the country. So I acknowledge all that when I say this. But the broadcast and the consuming of the sport feels a little bit more pure to me. Like, I'm not, like, inundated with advertisements everywhere. The players are very interested in this. And, like, we have reached a stage really across all sports that you wonder, like, do they care about the sport that they're good at, or are they just good at it? And when you see really all these college baseball teams, like, they seem to really enjoy the competition of being there. And so I don't know. There's a purity to it, and I think there's an immediacy to it. Like, I have enjoyed watching this college baseball run more than anything in Major League Baseball in a couple of years at least.
Well, we don't have opt-outs. You know, nobody's opting out of a super regional or out of a SEC tournament game. And, you know, you could easily do it. Georgia could have easily said, hey, man, regular season, we were champions. We're going to be a top seed anyway. We're not going to really go for this SEC championship title. But everybody played in the SEC tournament. And I don't know if any – at some point in time, we'll have a baseball opt-out, maybe.
Now that's the on the field, Mickey. I should point out that off the field,
yeah,
Georgia is in the portal right now getting players for next season because of how jacked up this calendar is. So they've gotten a reliever from Florida, and they've gotten the conference player of the year from Gonzaga. And I'm sitting there like, so is Wes Johnson just working the phones in the morning while he's doing game plans for the next Oklahoma pitcher? Because that's insane.
Really is. The other part of it is the exposure. I see the dog fans there. I see them barking. I see Kirby Smart there. Like, there is something to be said about, you know, Kirby's doing some recruiting online by being in Oklahoma. I'm being in Nebraska right now, being in Omaha right now. So there's a little bit of that, the G everywhere you look, too. Like, Oklahoma, North Carolina, West Virginia, same thing.
Well, I went over to the On3 Texas message board to watch their thread and see kind of what some of their fans were saying yesterday. And there was a lot of frustration that Texas can't beat Georgia in anything meaningful in big-time sports right now. Like, Texas fans were very frustrated with Georgia. And you go back to what the last three football games that they've played, and it has felt that way, that Georgia has been able to beat Texas. And there's potential crossover there of just, like, is there a monkey on the back of big-time Texas sports that Georgia sits on? Can that crossover across sports that way? I don't think for individual athletes it works that way, but for fans it definitely does.
Did you find it strange, though? Kirby's son is going to North Carolina next year. Did you find it strange of seeing him dressed in the powder blue stuff, the Smurf blue stuff, and Kirby looking like he might have had a blue shirt on too, maybe? Did you see this picture?
I went to a tennis match where Kirby's son was playing, and I got to see Kirby in dad mode, and like no one was talking to him about football or anything else. He was just a nervous dad that didn't want to be like totally in the sidelines of his son in a playoff tennis match. So he's kind of like roaming around nervously, waiting for that match. So I've seen that side of him, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, his oldest son is pretty brilliant, as evidence is like North Carolina's hard place to get into, right? And so the focus around here is actually going to turn into his youngest son, who now has an offer from Georgia Tech to be a quarterback. And I think that is quite interesting. Like, is that some head games there from Brent Key of, let's I think it was his first offer of that caliber, was Brent Key getting him into camp and giving him an offer there. So that's a story to monitor of Kirby's son's recruitment over the next couple of years.
Well, and if Buster Faulkner would still been there, that would have been interesting because of his ties to Georgia through all that. But and what year are we talking about?
So it makes you wonder, is Florida next to offer?
Could be. Now you're talking. So So what would that look like to Georgia fans if he chose not to go to Georgia? Georgia would offer, right? Eventually.
I don't know. I mean, Will Muschamp's son went to Vanderbilt while Will Muschamp was an assistant at Georgia, and Georgia did not offer him. So, we'll put it this way. Is it a full-on offer, or is there a spot somewhere on the roster?
All right, let me ask you this.
Maybe like the Herb Street son situation.
Yes, and man, that for Herb Street, that is very clear that an Ohio State and Michigan thing, that is obvious which one would be more irking there. If you're a Georgia fan, because Georgia has all these rivals, and Georgia was one of the most unique situations that all Georgia fans are thinking different. You know, some people say it's Tennessee, some say Florida, some say it's Georgia Tech, some say it's Auburn. You can say you got all those in there. Where's the one school that if Kirby's son went to play quarterback would really irk the fan base the most at this point?
For the fan base, it's probably Florida. I bet for Kirby, it is Georgia Tech. Kirby doesn't like Georgia Tech. Now, I'll tell you this: if somehow we went to play for Shane Beamer at South Carolina, that'd be a problem.
Where is that? What's the genesis of that again? They just don't like each other.
I don't think that there was any love lost after Shane left the staff at Georgia. Mainly thinking that Shane probably didn't do that good of a job at Georgia, especially in the recruiting area. If there's anything more personal than that, I don't know. I don't disparage Shane Beamer for this, but when you're trying to get your program to the next level, you do have to be a mouthpiece for it and have to be very out in the open. Try some things that other teams aren't doing. Like, that's required to get a South Carolina to the next step. And a couple of years ago, he was right there knocking on the door of a college football playoff. And that's way further than I thought that he could get that program. I wonder if some of that even rubbed Kirby the wrong way. So combination of all that, like, I don't know how like intensely personal it is, but they're not hanging out at Destin together, I can tell you that.
That's interesting. Let's dive more into that after this baseball season's over. And I'm trying to see now, has Beamer beaten Kirby? They haven't even played a couple times, and that feels weird to say that they haven't played each other.
They'll play this year. They didn't play the last two.
Yeah. I did not. Anyway, we'll have to go back and see the record between that. But let's get back to that. Do some research on that one. Let's talk about that for sure. All right. Let's do this. I want to also get with Jim Donnan on his, because Barry Switzer is on TV an awful lot with Oklahoma. So maybe next week we talk.
Looking great, too, by the way.
Yes. He's 88 or 89 years old and sharp as a tack.
He may be in better shape than me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, than me. It's not saying a whole lot there. But Bootlegger's boy doing really, really well at age 89. I want to look like that day. Tell me about UJSports.com. What all's happening there?
We had Anthony Dasher on yesterday from Omaha to preview what the rest of this is. So if people want a deep dive into what's left of Georgia's baseball season. They're in the Final Four, and I think if you would have told any Georgia fan that before the season, they definitely would have taken an Omaha trip in the Final Four. Four wins away from a national championship, and that's as close as they've been in a long time. But that's a daunting rest of the week and weekend to get to that point.
Love it. Let's talk next week, maybe about Georgia National Championship. If not, we'll do that, and maybe we'll get more of that Beamer and Kirby stuff. Tell the girls hello, man. Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you, Mickey. See ya.
Dane Young, UGASports.com. The U.S. Open begins tomorrow. I have tee times, and I have a preview coming up. Shinnecock Hills. We'll ask Andrew Oliphant about that after a short break.
Upset you missed a show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com. Touchdown! And on the Roar app. Download it today.
Sunday is Father's Day. Elkmont Trading Company has something for everyone, and that means something for Dad. Dad's going to love all that under one roof. Now, you know, this is something that your dad, he might be the weekend warrior. He might be the outdoor guy. Who knows? But the great brands like On Running, like L.L. Bean, like Birkenstock or Patagonia or Columbia or Poncho Shirts or Costa or Maui Gyms or Rainbow Sandals or Turtle Box Speakers or Field Center or Extra Tough Rain Boots, they've got it all. List goes on and on. Annual Father's Day sale going on right now. So if you need to get something for Dad, Drake, you listening over there? You need to get something for Dad. Elkmont Trading Company. Been doing this for the last 30 years. They want to thank you for supporting this. Roar listeners for the last 30 years. Go by and see them. Highway 123 and 93 in Clemson. ElkmontTradingCompany.com. ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Buy something for Dad nice on Father's Day and go Tigers.
From the I-85.
It's just coming to the house. Now, I told you they. I had them set up on my appointment list for down the road, and then we moved it up, and then they called me yesterday and said, hey, we got openings. Can we do it tomorrow? So Blue Ridge Heating and Air coming to the house tomorrow. Can't beat that. That's awesome. So do what we do. Get in touch with Ben and Chris and the great folks. It's our awesome friends over at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Blue Ridge Heating Air does a great job with our preventive maintenance stuff, the Tiger Tune-Up Special. Armstrong, certified Armstrong dealership here in the upstate of South Carolina and in the Brevard, North Carolina area. Let them take care of you. I'll just tell you, these guys are smart, man. It's just good hanging out with good folks like that and knowing that everything will be taken care of. Check it out with the hot temperatures coming. July's going to be a scorcher, I feel like, because June's been pretty mild. Get ready for it. Do it at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Tomorrow, the U.S. Open tees off from Shinnecock Hills on Long Island, Southampton out on Long Island, New York. And Andrew Oliphant, Director of Instruction, and Katichi is going to join us now to talk about that and more. Good morning, Andy O. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Timothy.
All right, tell me this. Give me the tips that we didn't know, because I'm going to get a little weather update for you here. But they're talking about 30 to 40 mile an hour winds. And with a golf course that doesn't have a whole lot to block it, you're on top of this hill out on Long Island, and you've got not a whole lot of trees blocking this thing. What do I need to know about playing in the wind, off the tee, iron game, short game, even, and putting being affected by the wind?
Yeah, it's going to be exposed, isn't it? I know they've given the players a little bit more room off the tee and made the fairways generous, you know, but when you've got, you know, the unique thing about Shinnecock is the crosswinds. So a typical links course that I grew up playing, you'd be into the wind on 1-9 and maybe get a little bit of a break and be downwind on the back nine. But when you get crosswinds, it's so much more difficult. You've got to, you know, do you fight the wind? Do you play with the wind? How do you do it? You know, that's got to be a choice that the player has to make, whether they, you know, wind coming off the right, are they going to play a bit of a fade and hold it up against the wind? Are they going to ride the wind? Certainly off the tee, you know, you can get a little bit more distance. But crosswinds are going to be more of a challenge. And playing it, is I've always got players to use the loft of the club. You know, so the 5-iron is going to go lower than a 9-iron. You know, and then making a smaller swing, almost chipping your way around the golf course, taking some spin off the golf ball. So using the equipment is, my opinion, the best way of playing in the wind.
Short game, I've seen it too. I've seen a lot of videos of balls being putted off the green, but it's almost always downwind. When the greens are this fast and this exposed, a lot of people might not know this, but I think the wind affects putting not as much, but certainly more so than the average round we play around here. You're counting for winds and downwind, in the wind putting as well?
Absolutely. You know, what we don't realize too is that their stimps might be on the 13-14, you know, so which is a measurement that's incredibly fast. So, you know, you've got these glass-like greens and nothing to hold it on there. The wind's going to push the golf ball. You know, so looking at the golf course too, they have these couple of holes that they're almost like infinity edge. So as a player, you know, you're looking at the hole perhaps, and you're putting, and then just 6 feet beyond that, there's an infinity edge. So it's like it drops off. So you get that speed slightly wrong, and the wind gets kicked up. All of a sudden, you're going to see players putting it off the green, and you know, once you do that once, it hurts because it stays with you. Now you've got to pitch it back up into the wind, hopefully get the thing up and down from a position you shouldn't be in. But the wind's most definitely going to affect putting, you know, especially those sort of perched up greens that they have there at Shinnecock.
All right, so the USGA, we think, is it fair to say, I'm looking now like tomorrow is going to be the worst day wind-wise. And we're only talking about, by the way, highs in the 70s, so heat won't be an issue at all. But winds tomorrow, 21 miles an hour with gusts up to 40. And then Friday, 13 miles an hour. Saturday, 17 miles an hour. Sunday, 12 miles an hour. So you're going to get gusts at 20 to 25 through some of those. Will the USGA adjust, like, for instance, where they put more water, soften it up a little bit on Thursday and maybe see what the weather does there? We don't want to lose it like we've done a few times there, but will we see the golf course play a little bit differently from a water standpoint and wet and moisture standpoint?
I think they've got to make it fair, but at the same time, you know, test the ultimate in the players. I mean, we typically see the best players in the world rise to the top of the leaderboards in the U.S. Open. You might get a household name, that someone that we've not heard of, or a qualifier who's playing well, all of a sudden they spike things. But, you know, their goal is going to be to test the best players in the world and try to make it fair. You know, that's it doesn't want to start getting into a, you know, a little bit of a show ground where it's, you know, balls are coming off the greens or players can't get to certain pins, wind whipping, and say they've got some of the fairways at 60 yards wide, which is fairly generous. But putting water down, like you say, they're going to lose the golf course, they're going to get dry. They want it a little bit firmer for the weekend, you know, going into the final rounds. But they'll use their best judgment. I just hope they keep it fair for the players.
With that said, humidity is at a fairly high level out in Southampton because you're so close to the water. So humidity won't be an issue. 82% humidity tomorrow. 51 on Friday, 46 on Saturday, and then 51 on Sunday. So that's not the issue, but the wind's drying the golf course out, you know, might be an issue there. With that said, Andrew, tell me about the thought process of the wide fairways. We'll see more drivers maybe as a result of the wide fairways?
If they try to flight it, you know, if they try to flight the ball down, you know, they're going to use the loft of the driver to keep the ball flight down. If you're downwind, you know, one of the tactics might actually be to hit a fairway club, get the ball up in the air and ride the wind. So the players will spend, you know, certainly today being their last practice day, I'm sure they've had Monday, Tuesday, and the tow trucks that are on property with different equipment, I'm sure they're going crazy this week trying to get players' bags fit for where they need to be. But that's something that they're going to be figuring out today and going with a game plan of what they're going to use off the tee.
I saw the tweet the other day of how many players have played in the U.S. Open there, and the entire U.S. Open for 72 holes, only three men have ever finished under par. A lot to do with the weather, a lot to do with the setup. Will we see a fourth or even more players finish under par this weekend?
Well, you know I always get this wrong, Mickey. I like to see some birdies and players get under par, and we know there's going to be a long par three. We know there's going to be a drivable par four. We know it's 7,500 yards, which is a super long golf course. It doesn't really kind of make much difference, right? I mean, if they hitting it 400 yards off the tee, and we know that they typically change a par five and make it into a par four. So par is going to be somewhere like 70. So we're already taking away, typical par is 72. If you want a number, the players are already standing on the first tee, theoretically 8 under. So, USGA always wants Mr. Par to be that score. They sort of hang their hat on that. So, we've got to go with it, right? If I said, oh no, we're going to be see 10 under par, it could be way off. We're more than likely going to see something close to par as a winning number at the end of the Sunday night.
All right, I've got a list here of the toughest opening rounds in U.S. Open history. Pebbles in here once at number 10, Marion's at number 9, Oakmont's got two of them. Oakmont in 2025 was 8, and then Oakmont's also was like third in 2007. Pinehurst is in there in 2005, Bethpage in 2002, Olympic in 2012. But so top three ever: Oakmont in 2007 at the average score of plus 5.24. In 2006, the second hardest one ever was Wingfoot at 5.95. But in 2018 at Shinnecock, the average score was plus 6.46. 76.46 was the average score. But tomorrow wins at 30-40. Is it safe to say that we will be pushing maybe the toughest opening round in U.S. Open history tomorrow?
I think that's pretty safe to say, yeah. Yeah. They're going to set that golf course up to test these best players in the world. We just don't want to see it turn into a little bit of a farce. If players can't get it on the fairway, if players can't get it on the green, you're playing to these pimple greens, that the surface themselves might be relatively big, but there's so much slope and drop-off. And then you add in the wind, you add in the rough, you add in the whole U.S. Open that they're playing for their national championship. Yeah, we might see some high scores tomorrow.
I've got the number now. I found this. 654 players have teed it up in the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. Three have finished 72 holes under par. Yes. Retief Goosen at 4 under par was one. Mickelson didn't win one when he won it there, but Pavin was over par. But anyway, 654 players, only 3 under par. All right, let's try this thing. Who do you fancy?
who I got?
Let me give you one. All right, Matthew Fitzpatrick. That's the guy.
Hits low bullets, been playing well, been putting well. Typically plays well on very demanding golf courses. So, having chatted of what the golf course is going to offer, then that's a good pick. I was watching a little bit of golf last week, and I like the way Morikawa is swinging the golf club in his short game, and he might be a little. You can't call him a dark horse because he's already got two majors, but I think he's coming into some nice golf right now.
Finally, if I want to play some nice golf, how do I do it? Who would I need to call? How do I need to get in touch with? Who do I need to email? Let's set some lessons up and get some folks playing a little better.
Yeah, the best way is andrew@katichi.com, and we've got some Aimpoint coming up this coming weekend, so there's still a bit of time to sign up for that. You can visit the Aimpoint Golf website and find a clinic, and not to steer people away from Katichi, but you might be listening from an area that has a clinic near to you as well, and you can go there and find a certified aim-point instructor. So we've got that going on. We've got some new to golf. We've got the summer camps for kids too, you know, so still, again, time to kick all the kids out the house, to get them off the video games and coming out and learning and playing some golf. So there's time to sign up for those as well.
It'd be a great thing for sure. I had someone text one of the three players, of the 654 players, Retief Goosen won at 4 under par in 2004. Mickelson was 2 under. And in 1980s, and didn't win. In 1986, Ray Floyd was the only guy to finish under par. Those are the three. Goosen, Mickelson, and Floyd are the three players who finished 72 holes under par. And I don't think we'll see it this week. I think we'll see over par. So we'll see. Even though these guys are so stinking good, but we'll see how that. Hey, I can't thank you enough. Let's review it when we visit next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks again, Mickey.
Thank you, Andrew Oliphant. The fascinating U.S. Open. Avery got excited over there, man. He's all into it. Can't wait. U.S. Open coming up at Shinnecock. And I think that we need to have it at Shinnecock like every 5 years. Pebble, Shinnecock. Let's have it rotation, what that rota would look like. All right, short break. We'll come back much more on the other side right after this.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar. From sunup to sundown, we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves. 105.5, 97.5, The Roar, your upstate sports authority.
My great friends at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com, let them take care of you. Prime Lending does an amazing job with your mortgages. Hey, let's take care of it. You're talking about refinancing. You're talking about remodeling. You're talking about an incredible company that does an awesome job for you when it comes to buying your next home. Get in touch with them. You need three estimates. One of them is Prime Lending. You'll choose these good folks. My last two have been with them. If I ever do it again, we'll do it at PrimeLendingSC.com. From the incredible job this company does in cultured. This is a company I knew about the culture before I started talking about them because I knew the owners and I knew the guys that worked there and what Justin and Stanley, all the guys do. So I told you this about yesterday with the property owners. I'll just tell you on the other side of it too, insurance companies, insurance agents are working with this thing. They can do a great job of you. I don't know how to deal with insurance agents when it comes to any kind of damage stuff. That's why I got Brad Hughes and what I do. But wanting this thing, that if you're a homeowner and or a commercial owner, and you do have to deal with any kind of water damage, whatever, these people are professionals at it, and they know how to deal with all that. So take care of that. I hope it doesn't happen to you, but oftentimes it does happen. Water damage, the mold issues that happen. I told you I had it in my family before. Let's don't mess around. Let's put it behind us. Let's go to the rapid response teams. It's my great friends over at AllDry, myalldry.com, 864-863-1234. Final segment here. We have a thousand things going on in the sports world. I'm going to ask you guys to rank it maybe a little bit later on. And today, Major League Baseball, World Cup, or College World Series. Tomorrow, U.S. Open takes precedence, right? Like, U.S. Open is the dang thing tomorrow. Friday, I'll allow the U.S. soccer team to take over.
Okay.
But we got to keep U.S. Open in the forefront. Sunday, it's U.S. Open because that's the it's Father's Day and all that. So that's in the final round. But as far as today goes, Braves, San Francisco, two games basically. You got a doubleheader with the Braves today. Or you have West Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia and Oklahoma. Or from the World Cup today, you have Portugal, the Congo, England and Croatia, Ghana and Panama, Uzbekistan, Colombia. So where are we ranking them?
Me, personally, I'm going College World Series number one. It's elimination games. You're figuring out who's in the final. Really, really good four teams left. That's got to be number one to me.
All right. I would agree with that one, especially with Georgia and North Carolina being in it, too.
That's fun.
If this was Cal State Fullerton and Oklahoma State and Texas and Southern Cal, then I go, what you got? I know some Tar Heel fans. I know some Georgia fans will do that. Keanu, where are you with all this today? Major League Baseball, World Cup, College World Series.
I'd probably go World Cup.
I think
World Cup. Just because of all the countries and stuff coming together, you know, fighting against each other.
All right, quickly before I get to a couple phone calls in the final segment too. Someone asked about top five fries on the text line. Chick-fil-A.
You ready for
like the waffle?
You ready for a scorching, scorching hot take?
Let's go. You don't like the Chick-fil-A fries.
No, it makes feelings. Okay. You know what is the most underrated fry out there?
What you got?
Arby's curly fry.
You like those curly fries?
Give it to me.
You like them?
Give it to me. That, a little Jamocha shake action. Woo.
Now, do you dip them in the shake?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no way.
Come on.
Mmm.
Well, sweet and salty.
What you got for me over there?
I think Zaxby's has the best fries.
Zaxby's, a little seasoned in
seasoned
there.
Seasoned fries.
Both of these like the seasoned.
I like seasoned
It's fries. All about, with Zaxby's and Chick-fil-A, if it's soggy at all, it ruins it. But if it's crispy.
You like crispy fries?
Crunchy. You like soggy fries?
Yeah. Kinda.
Really?
Kinda.
Quez says that Hardee's are underrated. A couple people are getting in with McDonald's now,
yeah,
too.
McDonald's are goated. Yeah. They're consistent.
Texture says Wendy's fries dipped in the Frosty, unbeatable.
Ooh.
I can't dip all that. Popeye's good fries. Popeye's is seasoned as well. Got a little
Popeye's
kick.
Is never consistent.
Really?
They always serve me cold chicken.
Oh, don't do that.
They do, always.
Texted Bojangles the goat here. Five Guys. Five Guys gives you like 2 million fries.
I've never. Somebody said a Firehouse sub
Firehouse
fry.
Subs.
They do
yes.
have fries.
What?
They're good.
They do have fries.
They're good. Got another Bojangles vote here. Texted said, pro tip, you can order your Chick-fil-A fries well done.
You can't anymore.
You can't anymore. They've knocked that out.
Can't
don't do
anymore.
That anymore.
Did you
it's heartbreaking.
See, did you see they got knocked down in customer satisfaction? They're like at 83 out of 100.
No.
And Jersey Mike's is beating them right now.
Stevie from Simpsonville brought his beautiful daughter by and dropped off breakfast this morning. Says Checkers fries. So Maya is over at Clemson today. That's great. Texas Drake, you like this one? Rush's fries. Drake, you're a fry guy. You got a vote in his thing. Don't you like the Golden Arches, Mickey D's? Yeah, that's your one, McDonald's. I'll allow that as well. Texas Arnold's home fries.
Ooh, Arnold's does have some good fries.
Max Drive-In fries. Cookout seasoned fries. To be honest with you, I'll go ahead and tell you right now. All of them. I don't think there's any bad fries out there. Does anyone have bad fries? I don't know if anybody has bad fries.
I think Bojangles is if they're too seasoned.
Yeah, they get a little too much
there's such thing
sodium
as,
in there. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'll give you that. Firehouse with Hero sauce, I get that. Bojangles, Fuddruckers. Yeah, man, I'll allow all that. I'm a fry guy.
The question is, what sauce pairs alongside those fries?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the right sauce for these fries? That's the question.
Yeah, and I told you one I can't name on the air, but do it with the blue cheese. You got to go that route. All right, let me get – I got three. I got about a minute each just to finish things up. Roger, thanks for calling in, man. 1 minute, buddy. Go right ahead. How you doing?
Hey, no problem. That song, the first hour stuck in my head. I got to go home and download the extended remix. But they should have done a better job. They should have did a California Love takeoff, and here it goes. Portugal, you know how California Love goes at the end. Portugal, where are you at? Paraguay, you better be ready to come to play. Pakistan, better have a plan. That's what they should have done. It should have been like California Love.
Yes, I like it.
That's all they had to do.
I like it. Get me a little Dr. Dre. But see, here's the difference.
Yep.
Here's the difference. Dr. Dre's talented. Aisha Speed is not talented.
You know.
Well, that was Tupac and Dr. Dre
yeah,
on that one.
That's right, Tupac, yeah. How about those two getting together?
Inglewood, always up to no good, yeah.
Yes, all yeah.
Man.
All right, buddy, appreciate that. Long Beach, Inglewood. You want to do top five rappers ever? We'll do that in tomorrow's show.
Let's do that tomorrow. But that one he just said reminds me of Tony Finau, where he be now. Similar vibes. Yeah.
You could bring in the top rappers of all time. Anybody who brings in anybody other than Tupac can go ahead and kick rocks. Tupac is it. And then you can have a 2 through 5 list all you want.
But one
engraved,
is locked up.
Engraved is Tupac. And the reason is, not only was he good, but that laugh. You know, like, you know, because he threw that laugh in there.
Can that
Busters.
Be? Can that be your producer tag, that laugh that you just did?
Old Busters. Mr. Bunny's been old Buster over here. Let me go, Red. Hey, good morning, buddy. I understand. You understand you're home now. So that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm home. And
great.
I tell you, I've used your talk to me because I don't know, Mickey, but you can always tell when I'm about to give up, when I'm down. And when you told me that story about who you going to call first,
yeah,
that stuck, buddy. I thank you. And I used it a couple times already about, and I'm calling it who you going to call first. So please tell call? That story tomorrow when you got time.
I'm going to tell it today, Red. You okay. did that. I'm going to tell it at the end of the show today. Very good stuff, buddy. Hey, glad to have you home.
Love you, buddy.
All right, love you too.
All right,
talk to you soon.
All right.
Let me get Butch. 1 minute. Butch, man, I got about a minute, man. Go right ahead.
Hey, I remembered my question from yesterday.
All right, good. That's a good memory.
Yes, sir. Yes. okay, you fired that boat, then who? Who are you going to replace him with? You know, like y'all asked us last year, get rid of Beamer, who are you going to replace him with?
Interesting.
Hey, I tell Ashby, I'm kind of with her on that. That Brett Venables probably would be the first call. She kind of changed my mind on that a little bit there.
BV, you got to get a BV in there. And that'd be interesting if he would take
it
down. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I got to thinking on that, man. I was like, man, that will be a – he come back and take that program back up to another notch. That speaks volumes for both of them, really.
Yeah, no doubt. Good stuff, man. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, I'm glad Red's home. Bless him.
No doubt. No doubt about that. So let me tell that story quickly. But let me tell you, this is my Brad Hughes, Brad Hughes at Allset.com, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allset.com, Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates, Brad Hughes. Get in touch with him for sure. So, Red, I told this story, and Red wasn't anywhere near this, but I went and visited him in the hospital the other day, and it reminded me of this great story. My buddy Jimmy Moore, who's a police officer at Clemson, Jimmy had the very first heart transplants, like a baboon heart, man. The guy was a survivor. He lived like 30 years with that thing, and he broke his leg, had a big rod in his leg, and had painful there. And then he battled cancer. I'm talking about for 15 or 20 years he battled cancer. And Jimmy was a great friend, and Jimmy was a guy that he had brain cancer, and he shaved his head. I mean, he had zippers all over his head and everything. And he told his wife one time, he said, "Look, we've been praying forever for God to save us." And God, he was in remission to come in and go out, and he got all this stuff. Anyway. He said, "I've done all this chemo, done all this radiation, done all this therapy stuff, and it's just wearing me out. And there's a point in time in here where I'm ready today. So let's change our prayers and let's pray for God to take me and take me peacefully." And his wife said, "Great, Jimmy, I'm glad you decided that. Now here's a cell phone. Which one of the five grandkids you want to say goodbye to first?" And he goes, "Never mind. We're not praying that prayer right now." How about that strategy? Right? Like, all right, which one of the five grandkids you want to say? So anyway, that's one of the things about when my mom passed. She was like, she was at peace with everything, but she had two smaller grandkids in Drake and Isla later in life. And she said, "That's just the one thing. I'm not ready to leave those little ones yet." So it's like, yeah, man, you want to play on somebody's emotions about still trying to stay in the game?
Ooh-wee.
Which one of them grandkids you want to say goodbye to first? So anyway, good stuff there. Quickly, do you have music for me over there? Do you need time for that? I'll go to Keanu first, and I'll let you play the music here. 2 minute drill. What do you have for me?
Justin Gaethje walked down Ilia Topuria, and if it was a rematch, I'd pick Justin Gaethje.
Who?
UFC, MMA,
never
mixed martial.
Heard of her?
Oh, what?
Never heard of her. Drake Plyler, you got your Chick-fil-A over there, man. You got your burger rankings over there. You got anything to say to anybody before we go?
Yesterday when you do the top five rappers, the first is going to be Eminem.
Okay, all right, we'll do that tomorrow. Drake's got his Eminem vote in there. Hey, last week on the music, I said Huey Lewis. It wasn't. It was Glenn Frey.